I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 26. And this is the birth of Jesus foretold. It's 1026. 1026. Well done. 1026. Luke chapter 1, starting to read at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I've got a question. It's a simple question. I want a one-word answer to it. What is this? Are you ready? After this service, there will be tea and coffee and cold drinks and probably something to eat as well. That's it. What is that? What was that? Yes. It is like a coffee break, but that's not the answer that I'm looking for. Yes. It is an invitation, but that is not the answer that I'm looking for. Refreshments is a good answer, but that's not the answer that I'm looking for. Yes. Pardon? A gathering? Yes, it will be a gathering, but that is not the answer that I'm looking for. It is an announcement. It's a notice. Yes, I realize that. But it's not the answer that I'm looking for. It's a promise. It's a promise. You will get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a cold drink and something to eat if you go through to the back room afterwards. I promise you. Do you make promises? Yes? Some of you are nodding. Do you keep your promises? Don't answer that question. Do you make promises and then forget that you've made those promises? Maybe, maybe not. Perhaps we can have the first picture or the second picture up on the screen. You see, approximately, very approximately, 2,500 years ago, God made a promise. He spoke to Satan, the serpent, who you may be able to see in the tree there. And my guess is that the first two people that lived on earth, Adam and Eve, heard this promise. And we can read the promise up there, in the corner of the screen. God said to the serpent, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now you may say to me this morning, what on earth is all that about? Well, let me tell you in a nutshell what it's all about. It's about the promise of Jesus coming into the world. Actually, throughout the whole of the Old Testament period, God kept on saying, kept on promising that he was going to send who into the world?
Jesus into the world. And about 700 years before Jesus came into the world, a prophet by the name of Micah, a man who spoke for God, said, "But you, Bethlehem," does that name ring a bell? "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And you know, one day, God sent an angel to a young Jewish lady. Any ideas as to what her name might have been? Yes, Mary, that's right. And Mary was engaged to a man. What was his name? Can you remember? Yes, to Joseph. The angel said, "Greetings. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And the Bible says that Mary was troubled. Why had the angel of God visited her? And why was the angel of God speaking to her like this? "Do not be afraid, Mary," said the angel. "You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name..." Was she to give him as a name? Yes. Jesus, that's right. "You want to give him the name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." In other words, God. "The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Wow. "How will this be?" said Mary. And basically, the angel said to Mary, "God, the Holy Spirit, will make it possible." And you know, Mary received what the angel said to her. She believed what the angel said to her. And it wasn't long before, next picture, this was the picture. The promised Jesus was born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet said. You see, next picture, God kept his promise. God always keeps his promise. And the greatest promise of all that God gave was to send his son, Jesus, into the world. Now, I've got another question. You don't have to answer this question. It's just something for you to think about. Why all this fuss about a baby? Why all this fuss about a baby? Why all the promises over many years? Why the angelic visitations? Why do Christians get so excited about a baby called Jesus that was born 2,000 years ago? I mean, I know babies are exciting, but why so much fuss? Because this baby was a very special baby. This baby was like no other. This baby was God come into our world. This baby was the Savior of the world. Do you remember what God's angel said to Joseph? "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." I don't know, boys and girls, and mums and dads, grands and granddads, whether I might surprise you by saying this, but everybody that's a member of our church believes that they are a sinner in the sight of God. They don't actually believe that they are really good people before God. You see, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners in God's sight. We've all failed to keep the standards that God requires of us. And the really concerning thing about that is that sin has consequences. And it leads to an eternal separation from God if our sins aren't dealt with. But the good news is this. The really good news is this. And maybe we can have the next picture. Is that Jesus came into the world and he lived and he died upon a cross in order to take away sin. In order to make it possible for sins to be forgiven. And if we trust in Jesus and we receive him as our Saviour, then we can be forgiven and have the certain hope of heaven. You see, those of us who belong to this church, we actually think that before God we're really bad people. We're certainly not self-righteous people, at least we shouldn't be. We believe that Jesus came into the world to save us from our sins, so that we might go and be with God forever in heaven. That's our story. That's our message. And I realise that there's lots and lots that's going on at Christmas time, but maybe I can encourage us all, young or old, to look beyond the tinsel and to think of Jesus and him dying upon the cross. Because that's really what Christmas is all about. Thank you for listening.